This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Many of us look back at September 11th with pain, grief, and horror. It was a day that will continue to live in our nation's public memory. But the tragedy has deeply colored the way Muslim Americans are viewed in this country, and we can see this particularly through the media. Today, when we see Muslim Americans in the news, they are often a part of the terrorism story.
They are not totally dedicated to this country. Many of them are trying to force Sharia law on the people of this country.
By the way, the last three dozen terrorists to attack Americans on airplanes have looked amazingly identical. They had the identical skin color, eye color, hair color. Half of them were named Muhammad.
Make no mistake about it, Islam is a violent religion.
These are young, angry terrorists who want to kill you, and they want to kill me, and you know it. Stop with the PC crap.
The mosque down here on 9/11, that's inappropriate.
A new documentary film, The Muslims Are Coming, shows a group of Muslim American comedians touring the nation to combat Islamophobia. Nagin Farsad is a comedian and the co-director of The Muslims Are Coming. Nagin is showing the film this weekend as part of the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival, but first she joins us on The State of Things. Nagin, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Why did you decide to make this film?
Well, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned 9/11 or whatever. I think Islamophobia has been around for a while. It kind of preceded my time with my parents during the Iran hostage crisis. That was when they first moved to the United States. And at the time, Iranians were not at all popular here. And my brother, who's much older than me, would get beaten up in school and all of that stuff. So I feel like there's been, you know, bigotry in general, which is, you know, the kind of larger note that we're striking in this movie, has been around. And I think different groups take turns kind of like being in the front seat. And certainly, you know, certainly 9/11 spiked. We thought that being so many years out of 9/11 that Islamophobia would die down, that it would just be less popular. But it actually seemed to spike with the Park 51 controversy, with the election of Barack Obama in 2008, with the persistent claims that he's a Muslim. And so I think those are the things that kind of led to a crescendo of increased Islamophobia, which is what put us over the edge and made us make this movie.
And the film documents a comedy tour. Tell us why what that comedy tour is about. And again, and why comedy?
what we did was we basically rounded up a bunch of Muslim American comedians in a nonviolent way, and we
beat Homeland Security. Nice job.
Indeed. But we went on the road to places like Alabama and Arkansas and Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arizona, like places where they don't necessarily love the Muzzies. And we did stand-up shows in towns and cities. And the reason, you know, we wanted to kind of do this through comedy is comedy is like is the great lubricator. You know what I mean? Your defenses melt away when you're laughing. And you're also really more inclined to listen to someone who's making you laugh than you are inclined to listen to a lecture or some sort of really depressing documentary. Which, no offense to depressing documentaries. But I think it's a really great tool in just kind of making people feel at ease. And that's the whole point of this film. We really wanted to start a conversation. And I feel like the dialogue that we were able to achieve in the movie and then since the movie has been released is a reflection of how comedy makes people feel.
Well, let's get an idea of some of the things that you encountered. Here's a clip of a woman at an antique store talking with you as you engage them in some conversation.
We're out here. We're doing the show. It's a funny show.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free. It's right down the street. We're going to do our show for about an hour, 10 minutes of comedy, and have a Q&A and ask questions. We're sincerely trying to meet people and talk to people.
Well, how do you feel about 9/11?
I was not shocked that the woman asked what we thought about 9/11, because that's not the first time I've heard it from people. But for some people, they never heard a Muslim denounce 9/11. No, I think that it's absolutely horrible. And to us, the terrorists are not even Muslims. They're terrorists with a political agenda.
No, but I mean, sincerely, is there any other way you can view 9/11 outside of abject horror?
Well, but let me ask you, what is your opinion of 9/11? so this shines a light on that you were having these kinds of conversations. Where did you go? And tell us more about these conversations that you actually did have.
Well, so one of the aims of the movie was really, like I said, to have conversations. And honestly, with a self-selected group of audience members who've come to a show, they might already be on board, or they might just be a little questioning or something. They want to learn a little more. But we're not necessarily kind of catching people in their tracks. And so to do that, we would do other things while we were on tour. Like we would set up an Ask a Muslim booth in the middle of a town square. People could just come and ask us questions. And they ranged, you know, anywhere from what do you think of 9/11 to, you know, boxers or briefs, you know, whatever it would be. And we got this question a lot. And I think the kind of sister question to that we heard all the time was, why don't Muslims denounce terrorism? And that to me was really interesting, because I think part of the problem is, you know, after any kind of terrorist incident, you'll see Muslim groups send out a press release denouncing it. And, you know, it happens all over the world with all various different kind of super reasonable, delightful, lovely Muslim groups doing that, interfaith groups doing that as well. And I think the part of the reason that people don't hear about it is because, you know, reasonable people denouncing violence in, you know, and being generally delightful is not pressworthy. And so they're not going to, no one's getting, you know, like, hey, guys, fresh off the presses, a bunch of nice people think that violence is bad. You know what I mean? And so as a result, so many people in the United States think that Muslims don't denounce terrorism. And it's shocking to me that they would assume that we don't denounce terrorism. So, but it's also really telling that the information they're getting is so garbled with this message of violence. It's so, you know, with the underpinnings that Muslims are just inherently violent or whatever, the stereotypes, that we really have to go out there and counter that. There's so much working against us on that front. And that was a question we saw over and over again in cities across America.
Well, another one, again, involving stereotype, is connected with dress.
Why do some Muslim women look like you,
all right,
and some Muslim women you can't tell who they are?
Okay.
They could rob a bank and you couldn't identify.
You wouldn't be able to identify. That's a really good question. The choice of whether or not to cover yourself is completely a personal choice.
Have you ever robbed a bank? Tell us more about that answer and that encounter, and whether you had many others like it.
Oh, that question is, you know, hand in hand with the other one. We got it in every city. I still get it. I mean, it's just a constant question. Why do I look like I'm from the Forever 21 catalog when I'm Muslim? And that is just really confusing to people. And I think, you know, part of that is because we have, again, this concept of Islam that's been dictated by, like, scenes of dusty people in the desert wielding AK-47s. And that's what we think of when we think of Muslims, right? We think of, you know, Muslim dudes with beards running in formation. And then when we think of the women, we think of them as like shrouded in burqas or whatever, and you can only see their eyeballs. And, you know, and again, they're in sort of like really hot, climated, dusty locations. And, you know, we really have to counter that, because there is, you know, Islam, like every other religion, has its spectrum, has variation. The countries of the Middle East are not a monolith. You can go to Lebanon and see girls that look like me. You can go to Lebanon and see girls that don't look like me, that are more covered. And it's because, you know, Islam occurs on a spectrum. We have this, we're very comfortable in the United States with the notion of like secular Judaism or secular Christianity, where it's like you have a friend we might have a Jewish friend who's like never gone to temple, or who just has a matzo ball soup once a year, just, you know, with pride is like, yeah, I'm Jew, you know, and that we're used to that. We're comfortable with that definition. We're comfortable with Christians who like only go to church once a year. And we get it, you know, that's a secular version of Christianity, and we understand it. We haven't come to the point where we get that Muslims might have that too. We just think of Muslims as super ridiculously conservative, super covered, you know, and in the United States, we think of them as pretty violent.
Well,
so that's one of the things we're trying to counter.
Well, and apparently this happened even on the tour, that diversity showed up. Omar, for one, challenged you on whether you were religious enough. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Well, he wasn't challenging me. He was wondering whether or not the Muslim community in the United States, or just, you know, I guess the world, was going to think of us as Muslims because we're, you know, because we're, some of us were so secular and some of us were not at all secular, like very practicing. And I think that's a valid question, and, you know, one we didn't want to shy away from. And the fact of the matter is, like, since the movie came out, like, do I get, you know, I get hate mail from all different types, but I've gotten complicated mail from Muslims who are like, you know, I don't think of you as Muslim, and I think you're pretty shameful or whatever. And I also get email from Muslims saying like, oh, you represent me. I've never heard anyone actually talk about their dating life. I wish we did that more. Why don't we do that more? It's great. It's refreshing because I'm an American Muslim, and that's what we do. We go out on dates. It's not a big deal, you know? And I think that is a valid question. I think we're moving more and more towards like a third identity. We're not, you know, Muslims living in the mother country, we're not fully Americans. We're this third thing where we like embrace our cultural past, we embrace our cultural present, and we have to forge, you know, a new route.
Well, you know, and you went, I want to talk about just briefly a couple places you went, but we sort of laugh at some of the questions you got. But actually, this is exactly what you want. You want people to come up, you know, expose some of the ideas that they have so that you have the chance to talk about these things. I mean, again, we were sort of laughing at those folks, but hey, they opened up and are willing to have the conversation and probably came away a little changed. So I guess that's exactly what you're looking for, right? People who are willing to sound a little silly to have this conversation.
Absolutely. And I, you know, the goal of the film was never to laugh at people, but to laugh with people. And I feel like, you know, we made fun of ourselves as much as any other group, probably mostly made fun of ourselves. And I, you know, what was really beautiful about the people that are in the movie is that they, like you said, they were brave enough to have that conversation. There's such a intense pressure to like not say what you're thinking or worry about political correctness or worry about cultural sensitivity. And that makes it very hard to be more educated if you're just worried to even ask the questions. And there's no question that's a bad question. It only means that you just haven't seen enough, you haven't heard enough, and that isn't necessarily even your fault. It's maybe the fault of an overbearing media that's giving us particular messages and not others. So I think you're absolutely right. The people that, you know, that was one of the best takeaways for me in the movie is that, you know, that is the bravery of the people that were willing to have the conversation, because that's what we really need.
Very briefly, did the whole tour and film transform you in any way, and how so?
I mean, I think the biggest transformation for me was like our goal, you know, was to go out there. We didn't want to make a movie about the jerks of America being mean. You know, we really wanted to make a movie about people who are willing to have a conversation, and our, you know, our approach was one of love. And if you approach people with love, by and large, you're going to get love in return. And it was great to have that hypothesis. And it was even more touching to realize that it was true.
Nagin, what a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nagin Farsad, a comedian and co-director of The Muslims Are Coming, a screening tomorrow, FedEx Global Education Center, UNC Chapel Hill. It's part of the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. If you want to find out more, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. By the way, Nagin is going to be performing tonight at Nightlight in Chapel Hill. She's going to be performing on Saturday at Nightlight in Chapel Hill. Anyway, all that's on our website, stateofthings.org. This is The State of Things. It's produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Sean Wen, Megan Mataferi. Robin Copley is the technical director. Brent Wolf, the news director. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.